So we finished with the introduction, and then we will continue with the chapter one. So in the first chapter, which is entitled "The Characteristics of Pure Devotional Service," so we will go now through some of the basic principles of devotional service. So in the beginning, then Srila Prabhupada, he describes the different kinds of liberation. Then, as we know, then there is become one with the Lord, then be on the same planet as the Lord, then have same features as the Lord, to enjoy same opulence as the Lord, or to become a companion of the Lord. Now, as for Vaishnavas, then these liberations are not really considered as very great. Especially the first one, becoming one with the Lord, then it's not accepted as a kind of liberation. The other four, then for some, I mean, they can be considered, but say, like, for example, Dhruva Maharaj. Right? Dhruva Maharaj, what did he want? He wanted to have a place as great as Lord Brahma, or greater. Then, but in the process, in the process of devotional service he followed, he got purified, so he did get offered planet which is greater, but then by performing the service, by the chanting of the holy names, then he did not have the desire at the time to accept it as something which would belong to him. But eventually he did accept it, but as a service to the Lord. So the point here is made that liberation without really in connection with the Lord, it will not be very useful. The devotees, great devotees, they rather pray, let me stay here. I can be like a worm in a stool as long as I can perform devotional service. That's the most important element in never forgetting Krishna, always remembering him. So we have to really guard that aspiring for any of these opulences will not take us away from devotional service. Because without devotional service, any of these liberations have no meaning. In Vrindavan, there is nobody who does not perform devotional service. Everybody is fully absorbed in Krishna. Anything what they do, it's connected to Krishna. So nobody is inactive. Everybody does activity which are favorable, which are for Krishna. So that's the mood. So we have to now very clearly understand that what the attitude of a devotee must be. Any question on that? Yes.
A question. What is the difference between to live as a companion of the Lord and to live with the Supreme Lord on the same planet?
Okay. Well, to see, like, to have the same planet, then you don't necessarily want others to be there. You can have your own place, and the Lord is going to be there with you. So you get the full attention of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And there's a space in between anybody else. So you get the full feeling of that the Lord belongs to you. So as a companion, that others are also there, so you can somehow tolerate them. Yeah, but again, the important point, here is the same. That see, in the level of as a Kanishta, the Kanishta mentality can be that we see the Lord, then we may see our guru, and that's it, and ourselves. So that way, then we can relate to our guru, we can relate to Krishna, but somehow we may not be able to properly establish relationships with the devotees. So that way, then we may not want to associate much with the devotees. So this is misunderstanding, and that will hold us away from the deep realization of what actually we are supposed to perform, what is our constitutional position, and then how we perform devotional service towards the Lord. So if such a devotee, because he is Kanishta, so some offenses may be done. So therefore, at that stage, it's very slow to progress. One should first of all work on to give up that mentality, the Kanishta mentality. From the Madhyama, then it's much faster, it's much more progressive. Because of the Madhyama mentality, then we see ourselves, we see the Lord, but we see the devotees of the Lord as those which, by serving them, then we please the Lord. Yeah? Yes?
All residents of Vaikuntha have the happiness of being in the same planet, in the same city, in the association of the Lord.
Yes, it's true, but they take it, they live in it, but they don't consider it as their own, but they prefer it. The residents of Goloka, they have every tree is Kapavrisha tree, so they can have whatever they want. One speck of Chintamani dust is more than any opulence in the Vaikuntha, but who cares? So they use that to please Krishna, but they are not there because it's so opulent. The residents of Vaikuntha, they like to be in that presence or in that place which is opulent, but they don't use it for themselves. So they dress beautifully, nice crowns, nice ornaments, but why? So then they can present themselves to the Lord. So there is the mood of awe and reverence. But in Goloka, it's just the mood is not there. The mood is Krishna is there. So whatever pleases him, we do. When the gopis, when Krishna, he got a headache, and he asked the gopis, please, now put your feet on my head, so then they will cool down my head, and then my headache will go away. Now, it's impossible to even think of that in Vaikuntha. No, that's unspeakable. No. But in Goloka, yes, they would do. Why? Because he wants us to do. It pleases him. No, whatever. If I go to hell for that, it doesn't really matter. No. For me, the most important is that I please Krishna. So that's the mood of the gopis.
So
yes.
Can we get the prominent desire for living on the same planet or for the opulences by Kunta and Vasis in terms of service for the Lord as Jnana Anavritam or Karmana Avritam? Avritam.
You see, if we have the desire just to be with the Lord, but we have to have idea what are we going to do there. Because just to be with the Lord, it will not give us any benefit. What is the relationship between the jiva and the paramatma? It's not in action. There's an activity. So based on that activity, that's devotional service. So okay, I would like to be with the Lord on the same planet, and I will do these activities. So then based on that, Krishna can do something with that. For him it's not problem to create one planet, because that's a desire of the devotee. And then he will award that opportunity, and the devotee can serve the Lord in his capacity, in his desire. But then he may be missing the association of other devotees. But okay, it's his desire, and then he performs his devotional service well, so then Krishna may grant it. But then we should know, is that really what we want? Because Krishna may award these liberations comparatively quite easily. But what it's very difficult to achieve, it's devotional service. Now, there was one story actually, when there was a lady, and she used to collect dry branches for firewood, as a firewood. So one day she collected a lot. It was a huge bundle, and then they used to carry on the head, like you see the ladies just go, and then just collect one by one, and it was a huge bundle, and she was so happy. Why? Because now she doesn't have to go for collecting the wood for many days. And as she was going home, she tripped, and then it fell down. Now, it was so heavy that she could not lift it herself. So she found it impossible to put it back on the head. So she started lamenting. And in her lamentation, then she was crying for Krishna. Now, she was so sincere that actually Krishna comes. And then he came and he asked, "My dear lady, now what can I do for you?" And then she relieved, "My dear Lord, please, can you help me to put this wood on my head? Because I need to carry it home." Krishna, "No problem." Puts it, disappears. And she very happy starts walking. And then suddenly she realized how foolish she was. So she asked basically, "No, Krishna, please put that the material burden back on my head." She could have asked anything. She didn't, because she was so much engrossed in her desire to carry it home. So we have to be very careful what is our desire. Because when we are engrossed in our desires and we chant the holy name, so the holy name can very easily fulfill those desires. And then it may be for us very disturbing what is happening to us, because we don't want that. Well, that's what you think about japa. No, when you chant the japa, that's what I'm thinking about. So then the desires which we have, that's very important for the Lord. And Lord, he may avoid them or not, that's up to him. So when we want to perform pure devotional service, we have to give up all material desires, and our desires should be only to always remember Krishna and never forget him. But until then we will have ups and downs, we will have problems. But our goal is to achieve Krishna. So Krishna, knowing that, then he is helping us from within the heart, through our spiritual master, through the devotees. But it's up to us to recognize that and try to actually take that help. Now, there was another nice story. There was a guy, he was living in his cottage, and he's living there. And then suddenly some people come, they say, "Well, you should move from here and now build your house somewhere else, because in 6 months we will have a dam over here. So your house will be underwater." So he said, "No problem, God will take care." So then he lives there, and as they are building, a few months after they come, "Well, you should leave from this house, because in 1 month it will start filling up water in the dam. Everything is finished, so you should leave now." "Yes, don't worry. No, God will take care." So then they start to fill up the water. So they come there. "The water is filling up. No, you should leave." And they were on the boats. "So please, you come with us. We will take you to the bank." "No problem. No, God will take care." So then water is raising, and then it's almost flooded. So he's now standing on the roof. They come with the helicopter. "Jump in. Don't be foolish. Now, in few moments the water will be now over your roof and you will die." "I have no fear. God will take care." So then water is rising, he drowns. Then he goes right now to the heaven, and then he meets God, right? And then he starts lamenting, "What is this? I have so much faith in you, and then you don't save me. What do you mean I don't save you? 6 months ago I sent my people there to tell you that you should get lost from there because it's going to be filled up. After that few months, I sent somebody else to tell you it's going to be in a few months. Then on the boat, then I send a helicopter. And you don't take even that much effort to take my help. So what can I do for you? So that may be also our position. Krishna may be offering us so much help. Do we recognize that? So this is rooted, deep rooted in our desires. Because many times the help comes, but it's not according to our own desires. We would like to do, but different way. Something else. I want to be special. Everybody does the same thing. I want to do it differently. That's our problem. So until that's there, then we will have difficulties to really realize who we are and who Krishna is. Yeah? Okay, so what are the primary characteristics of devotional service? A devotee does not even want any of the five kinds of liberation. What to speak of rejecting material sense gratification? He is satisfied simply by discharging loving service to the Lord. That is the characteristics of pure devotion. So pure devotion, as we discussed, that there are no materialistic desires. I have heard there was one devotee somewhere in Gaudiya Math, and then he joined as a brahmachari. Not dedicated, no working well, not doing his services. One time somebody asked him, "No, why did you join?" No, sometimes devotees ask among themselves, "Why did you join?" He said, he answered, "I want to go to heaven." So what? Why did you join? Here you can go to Goloka. But why hell? What do you want to do there? Well, I want to enjoy, but over here, no, the all the women, they are like frogs, and now I cannot really enjoy that. So I want to not perform, the service. I want to go to, heavenly planets. So it's better to do devotional service, ask Krishna, to give you the opportunity to enjoy. But in his case, similar like say Dhruva Maharaj, he may get the opportunity by the performance of devotional service in the association of pure devotees, then he may as well go back to Godhead. If he realizes, and if he does not maintain these materialistic desires. Because on enjoying oneself, there is nothing too great, too special. Because enjoying here or enjoying in the heaven, enjoying the apsaras it doesn't really make much difference. It's a sense gratification. So it doesn't help us to elevate oneself. So that's the definition of a pure devotion. So, and what are the further characteristics of devotional service? So there are six characteristics of pure devotional service. One is pure devotional service brings immediate relief from all kinds of material distress. Second, the pure devotional service is the beginning of all auspiciousness. Third, the pure devotional service automatically